Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And it's Monday, so we both welcome you here.
Welcome.
On the Mark Steiner Show, we have an interesting couple hours, as we always do, lined up for you. In the first hour, we're going to look at that audit vote again. It's coming up and a week from Monday. We need to talk about that. We asked the comptroller of the city of Baltimore, Joan Pratt, to join us. He's in studio here for the first half hour. We also have several of our city council representatives with us who will be joining in, Bobby Kern and Helen Holton. Carl Stokes may show up in the latter part of the show. And Mary Ernish, who's founder of Audit Baltimore, has been pushing this issue, is with us as well. We're going to take a brief break to do the traffic and come back. And in the next hour, let me just tell you, we are going to be joined by some leaders of the Sikh community here and around the country to talk about what happened at the temple in Wisconsin, and also then talk to some folks about the issue of violence, guns, and racist extremism in this country as part of it as well. So stay with us for all that. Right now, we check on the roads here in Baltimore and come right back to y'all. So stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Hospital for Children, offering primary specialty and critical care for all children, from the smallest babies to the biggest teenagers. For more information or to learn about their specialty outpatient locations throughout the state, the number is 1-800-492-5538. Now, just the other week, we had several shows around audits. Mary Ann Ernish, who is founder of Audit Baltimore, joined us that day at the last minute.
She was down at City Hall as it was being debated, as a matter of fact.
And she called in, and she joins us now. And one of the things we kept saying during that show was there are some questions that have to be answered, and only the comptroller can really answer them. And so we put a call out to our comptroller, Joan Pratt, and she is here in the studio. And Comptroller Pratt, welcome. Good to have you with us in studio.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for inviting me here this afternoon.
Pleasure to have you here. We're also joined here in the studio, Bobby Kern, who represents the 3rd District, is in the studio. Helen Holton, who represents the 8th District, is on the phone.
Yes, I am.
Helen, how are you?
Hi, Councilman.
I'm well and so. Hello.
And Mary Ernest, you're there as well.
Yes, I am.
Good. So let's just start. Let me just begin this way, and please, I want you to leap in here, my dear brother, because, you know, can't do this without you on Mondays. But there are several questions here.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't I just tell your listening audience to clear up some misunderstandings about what they've heard and what they've read as far as the comptroller's office is concerned. What I'd like to say is that, you know, there has been a lot of talk about the comptroller's office performing audits. And what I'd like to say is that when I took office, I had 49 funded positions. The year before I became comptroller, I had 52 funded positions. And since 95, I have taken a 25% reduction of staff. Now, in 1984, the audit department was funded with 67 funded positions. At a time when there were less complex regulations, since then we've had Sarbanes-Oxley. There have been many generally accepted accounting board pronouncements that the city and that funds have to be audited in a certain way. As you know, the ARR Act, the American Reinvestment Recovery Act, Baltimore City got stimulus money. And in order to continue to receive that money, we've had to audit those agencies that money was given by President Bush and continue with President Obama. As a result of that, 5 or 6 of the auditors have been dedicated to that area, because if we're not in compliance with federal regulations, then we will not continue to see federal aid. And a substantial portion of the city's budget is funded by the federal government. So when we read, or when you're hearing that the Department of Audits has X number of auditors, and they have the resources, and the administration has given additional auditors, I requested 42 auditors in the fiscal 2013 budget. I did not receive 42. I received 39. So I just wanted to get some information out to your listeners as to there are certain mandated audits that the city Department of Audits has to perform. And so the resources are limited. So with that information, that factual information, Mark, or Anthony, if you would like to proceed with questions, or your listening audience has questions. But I just wanted to get your audience to understand that there are limited resources and there are audits that we must perform.
So let's begin here. One of the things I was going to outline here, I mean, there's some serious questions here also about what the city council is going to vote on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to be put before the voters. And we were wrestling with this, and I'll just throw these ideas out, then we'll come right back to some questions. I mean, the question is like, what does the comptroller currently audit? I don't think anybody really knows. Other questions are like the distinction between financial and performance audits, the distinction between the annual citywide audit and departmental audits, and what is it that is not being audited, and the cost of doing additional audits. Now, my other thing I was thinking about was, if the voters don't understand this, mm-hmm. the council doesn't understand this, how will the voters understand it?
Right.
And not that they couldn't understand it. The question is, this is not a complex thing. So you can. I'd like to just jump at that first question first, Comptroller, and then I want to ask Mary to come in in a moment after that. Go ahead.
Okay. There are certain mandated audits by the charter. The city must have an audit of all city agencies, all the transactions of the city. The single audit has to be performed, as I said, because that jeopardizes our city funding. Then there are other agencies that have to be audited, like the library, the retirement system. So there are limited resources of what can be done. And then we're doing financial audits. And then we have special requests. And then we have a fraud hotline where citizens call in and that we have to immediately audit those agencies. To give you an example, and Councilman Curran, you're here. You have requested an audit, and the reason why it cannot be finished is because there are audits that are, as I said, that are mandated. For instance, there was a recommendation made by the Department of Audits to the administration and the finance department where there needed to be a reclassification of some items on the balance sheet. Now, I don't want to get really technical, but as a result of that, we had to deploy auditors that could have been doing performance audits or special requests that we can't because we can. And those who look at the website, you will notice that the fiscal 2010 audit has been pulled off the website, and we cannot render opinion on the 2011. Can't go forward with the 2012 because in accounting, the ending balances of one accounting period is the beginning balance for the next period. So we've had to spend additional money, almost over $700,000, to get these restatements, and we had to take auditors who would have been doing special audits, special requests, and agency audits that we just cannot do because it's being held up. It affects our bond rating, so it's important that these financial statements, the CAFRA, be reissued, be restated, so that we can move forward because we're being held up with 2010, 2011, and 2012. Annual audit.
So, Mary Arnish, let me bring you in here. I mean, because one of the things you talked about is the audit being taking place in other metropolitan areas done by the comptroller's office. So, what you've heard what our comptroller, Joan Pratt, has said. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, Mark, I'd like to thank Comptroller Pratt for coming to the show today. I'm very pleased that she's here and that we can move this discussion forward because, as she pointed out, we really can't do that without her weighing in. So thank you very much for coming today, Comptroller Pratt. And I think what I would add to that is, I guess, from where I sit and other citizens, what we're curious about is that compared to other cities, Baltimore's audit function is actually amazingly well-staffed. And let me just give you some comparisons.
I disagree, but go on.
Well, I'll give you the numbers.
Let me just say to you, and I don't want to cut you off, and there may be other callers, because I've heard this, and that's a misunderstanding. We currently have 34 auditors. We have some positions that we need to fill. We are competing with private industry, the federal government, and the state government with salaries. We want to hire the best auditors that are out there because we have a lot of work to do. And so for you to say that we're top heavy or we're overstaffed, that is an absolutely That is absolutely not true. And what I can say to you is, I mean, you're making a statement in a vacuum because
you're not there.
Let me just tell you let me tell you what the staff.
You interrupted me.
Okay, go on.
So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to be permitted to finish my sentence. Interrupted me.
Okay.
I am working from empirical numbers, and as a quantitative person, I would hope that you would understand and appreciate that. I am working from the actual numbers from the other city auditors, from the other comptroller's offices. These are not numbers that are open to debate, okay? And just for example, so that listeners can hear what the other large cities in the United States are doing in terms of their audit staffing, let me read them out in an uninterrupted manner. For example, Houston has 11 full-time auditors, San Diego 18, San Jose 10, Jacksonville, that does continuous internal auditing, by the way, has 16. Indianapolis has 9. Charlotte, North Carolina has 8. Detroit has 11, although I'm told that number has gone down. El Paso, 8. Memphis, 9. Seattle has 8. And Denver has 21. Now that's just a brief sample. So
can I interject something there?
I'm not quite finished.
Okay, but let me kind of control this. We only have so much time. So interaction is important. So finish what you were saying, Mary, because I want to be able to have time to have Joan say what she has to say, and people coming back and forth. But go ahead, finish up, Mary.
Well, this is all in the report, Mark, and so people can shortly read for themselves and see for themselves the numbers. My point is that 30, relative to the other large cities in the United States, and there are 26 of them, is actually an exceptionally large number.
Well, let me respond to that. Are those cities that you're talking about, are they in the process of restating their financial statement? Are they in the process of restating their CAFRA? We are working in conjunction with KPMG and Ernst & Young to restate these financial statements. And it also involves the Department of Audits. Also, you may or may not know that there were some allegations made in the Water Department where citizens were paying more water for their water bill and their houses were going into tax sale than need be. When we have those special kind of requests that we must deploy auditors to immediately, it takes away from the audits that we were planning to do, because we can't, and you know, you're an accountant or CPA, you know that.
Actually, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay. Well, then let me just say to you that if you do not receive an unqualified opinion and you do not issue financial statements, it jeopardizes your funding. And so what suggestion would you make if you have to restate your financial statements and you have to put, I just mentioned that we spent over $700,000 with these two auditing firms and it's not finished yet. So we had to hire outside auditors and we're using inside auditors to restate fiscal 10 and 11. So tell me what you would do and tell me how and what you would do when you have an immediate emergency. To deploy auditors to restate these statements. Tell me what you would do if you had this challenge.
My research that I have been conducting is confined to the internal audit function. I'm not here to discuss CAFRA. I'm not here to discuss what the city is doing or not doing in terms of CAFRA. What I can say is that Baltimore is not exceptional. They are not exceptional than any other city that is facing fiscal and financial difficulties in the current landscape.
But I think that Baltimore is an exception because I just enumerated why Baltimore was an exception with the restating of the financial statements. Also, let me just state that since I've been the comptroller, the Department of Audits has saved or recovered for the city of Baltimore $45 million. Now, that hasn't been publicized, but that's a fact.
Would you be willing to put that in writing?
I have it in writing, and I will Yes, I have it in writing.
The reason that I asked is I'm sure by now you read the questions that I submitted to the Baltimore.
And I responded to you. If you look on page 4 of my letter, number 8, I responded to you.
I'm not disputing that. And I would like to, I'd like to say is, my research is focused on the internal audit function and the comparison of the internal audit function across the 26 largest cities in the United States. Okay, so that's really what I'm hearing.
So let me ask this question. So one second, Helen. Let me just ask this question. I'd like to know from all of you, and Helen, you can jump in if you'd like. What is it that we expect out of Baltimore in terms of these audits that people presume we're not getting, mm-hmm. and that other cities are? And then how do we get there if, in fact, that is the case? That's what I want to try to figure out.
Helen, did you want to respond?
Well, what I wanted to share is this, you know, the information of U.S. cities with populations greater than 600,000 residents and whether there's a state or city charter requiring audits overwhelmingly on an annual basis. It's great data, but the data leaves out something in my mind that's rather critical, and that's what type of audits are they performing? Are they performing financial audits? Are they performance audits? Are they agreed upon procedures? Because, I mean, an audit is, you know, you can't just say an audit is an audit is an audit. It depends on what type of an audit it is. Mm-hmm. If it's a performance audit, yes, you can perform those on an annual basis with far less staff because you're not getting into financials. I think one of the challenges for Baltimore City is that we have a number of agencies and departments that do not prepare financial statements on an annual basis, be it right, wrong, or indifference, it's a fact. And so if we're talking about financial audits, we don't even have the necessary data to begin that process, nor the level of expertise within those agencies that knows how to prepare those statements, i.e. recreation and parks.
So
a couple years now, we've been trying to get an audit done of recreation and parks, and they have no financial statements. The question begs, how do you audit their finances if they have no financial statements?
Let me just take a step backwards here again. This is important. These are the distinctions that I think if this can be on the ballot, people have to understand. And let me turn to Mary and then to our controller. Don't mean to leave you out, Bobby. You're going to come right here in a second.
I'll take a pass.
But I think these distinctions are important, Mark.
Yeah, I do, too.
I agree. That people wonder what Councilwoman Holton means by are they performing a financial audit or a performance audit? And how do we have an agency, such a substantial agency like Recreation and Parks, that does not have adequate staff to prepare for an audit? And we find ourselves in a very perilous position, it seems to me.
I would think so, too, and I agree with you. And so I'm curious. Folks, the lines are open, by the way, 410-319-8888. This is an open forum for you to jump in here. Because you're the ones who may be voting on this in November. So, Mary, how do you respond to what Helen was just saying? I'm curious to see how the controller would respond to it.
Well, again, Mark, this is all part of the report, and I have focused exclusively on internal audits. And what I've done is I've compiled and analyzed, working from the charters, the type of audits that are being completed, whether they're financial, whether they're performance, operational, technological, whatever.
Mary, you still there? Did we lose Mary?
I think we lost her.
Well, she'll be right back. We'll bring her right back on.
Want to take some questions?
So the question is, why is it that there are departments within our city government, that seems to be a question that should be answered, don't have financials? How could we be spending tens of millions of dollars of taxpayers' money and not have financials to be able to explain how they're spending their money?
Well, an annual audit is performed, and the Department of Audits reviews the transactions of the accounting department and the Department of Finance. Audits are not done where there is 100% testing. It's done on sampling. So an audit is done, and the specific question is, why are there not financial statements for every agency? That's a question that you probably need to ask the Department of Finance. there's an audit that's been performed. We receive an unqualified opinion, which is the best opinion that you can receive.
So let me ask this question, Comptroller. Are you just saying, so we, I can understand, and our listeners and citizens can understand, that the departments that do not have financials, is it the responsibility of the department to do the financials, or is it the responsibility of the Department of Finance to do the financials?
It's the Department of Finance. The Department of Audits can't prepare financial statements and then audit them, because then their independence is
impaired. What I mean is Parks and Rec and the police, are they supposed to do their own financials, or is the Department of Finance supposed to come in and do the financials for the individual departments?
Well, each agency could maintain their books and records. Obviously, there has not been a requirement to do that. But what I can say is that the spending that is done, the expenditures that are made, are approved by accounting, the Department of Finance, which is under the Department of Finance. So there can't be runaway spending, because the Department of Finance oversees the Department of Accounting.
So
go ahead. Mary's back. But
okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Just so that I'm clear, does the Department of Finance reconcile the agency's books at the end of the year?
What happens is,
or do they just approve the spending, and then the checks and balances of those, that spending has been approved, and therefore the money is accounted
what
for?
What happens is the Department of Finance gives the records to the Department of Audits, mm-hmm. and then the Department of Audits does some testing. They work with accounting, they work with MOA, they work with payroll. So there are different agencies that the Department of Audit works with. But it is the Department of Finance.
So, Mary, did you want to follow
I'm
up?
Fine.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, you were in the middle of a thought when we lost contact.
Yes, sorry about that. I'm back. The report that I'm working on, actually, like I said, it has analyzed and compiled all of the internal audit types and charter requirements of the 26 largest cities in the United States. So we can begin to look at this, as Councilwoman Halton brought up earlier. And I do want to have these discussions, and I hope that this will be one of many that we can have and continue to have continue to improve and strengthen the audit function here in Baltimore. But to say that other cities are not doing financial audits is simply not true. There's ample verifiable evidence that I have that shows that they are. And for example, the city of Austin, Texas, last year in their annual audit plan, and that's also something that's important, is that listeners need to realize that the majority of large American cities do an annual audit plan on risk assessment and have written proof on their website that they do this. You can download the plan. That is, you know, really, really crucial in terms of internal auditing, as far as I can tell. The other thing that they're doing is they're having audit committees. The overwhelming number of cities have audit committees, and this is where Baltimore is out of step. The city of Austin, Texas, in their annual audit plan last year, they named 44 audits that they plan to do, and they completed 39 with 21 full-time auditors, and they ran the gamut: financial, performance, compliance. So to say that other cities are not doing financial audits is not true.
Controller.
Yeah, I'd just like to respond. And I don't know if you had an opportunity. I responded to all of the questions that you asked. And on page 2, question.
Where, if I'm interrupt, I was away for the weekend.
Okay.
Where was this response so that I can follow up?
On page 2-6, that the Department of Audits does prepare an annual audit plan. And the purpose for developing this audit plan is to identify, select, and execute the management of audit and non-audit activities that will be performed during the calendar year, and to allocate our limited resources to this area.
Where can I get a copy of this audit plan? Where can anyone get a copy of this audit plan?
The Department of Audits, but you know,
It's not on their website.
We do not put the entire audit plan on the website because there's some information that auditors are reviewing and requesting that we do not want out in the public domain. But after an audit is performed and it has been presented to, the auditors report to the comptroller's office, but I received, there's no interference, and I received the information from the audits as soon at the same time that the Board of Estimate does. And so if you would like to review some of our audit plans, the ones that have been completed, I welcome you to come to City Hall, make an appointment.
Why don't you put them on the website like every other large city does?
Why don't we put the completed audit plans on the website?
On the website. In fact, in my research, overwhelmingly, except for two cities that do audit plans and have written proof that they do audit plans, they're all on the website. Please put them on the website.
I will speak with the auditor, the city auditor, and see if that's something that can be done.
Yeah, it's a best practice.
Let me just go to the phones, and Bobby wants to say something. Let me get to the phones, and Helen's only had one shot. Bobby needs to get shot. Mm-hmm. They'll both of them are staying with us the next half an hour. 410-319-8888. Hassan, you're on the air.
Hey, Mark and Anthony. Always a pleasure, man. This is a great program. I first and foremost have to say, everybody for being on here in the conversation. I'm going to keep it real simple and real specific with two questions. The first one going to my man, Councilman Kern, which would be a very specific on what exactly, specifically, was wrong with Councilman Carl Stokes' original audits bill, and why did it have to wait to the 11th hour to add these amendments? And to the second question to Comptroller Joan Pratt, who's doing, in my opinion, a great job, is, and to Mary, should the council vote for what has been called the watered-down version of Stokes' bill, and should the voters actually vote for that quote-unquote watered-down bill if it's passed next week? And I'll go off air to listen to the thing. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you, Hassan. Bobby?
Before I answer Hassan's, I just want to make one general comment. I'll answer Hassan's question. Comptroller Pratt and I came into the city government in 95 together. Obviously, I was a council person, and she came in as a controller. As a council person, we had several interactions with her agency over the years, mostly with real estate issues, because the real estate officer works for you. Mr. Walter Horton is a real workhorse of your office. I want to give kudos to him. But I pursued audits in the past, as you know, Madam Controller, back when I did the SU group to do the Express Scripts audit, which saved us, which got us back $240,000, but more importantly, saved us millions from fraudulent and deceptive practices that our pharmaceutical benefits manager was doing over the years. That came to a good income. I understand the other, the parking lot tax is a little bit more, it's a cash thing, and it takes more involved, but I do believe somewhere down the road you would do that. So I want to give kudos to the controller for performing her job. Now, to Hassan's question is, the original bill had 55 agencies. That's just unwielding to expect that we do all 55 agencies, in that the amendments that I put forth would have done down to 13 of the agencies, the most high profile, the police, the DPW, and would do it on a four-year basis versus two-year basis. And my rationale for that is hopefully that we can have the controller's office get those positions funded. Visions are funded, and we'll be able to fill some of those positions to do these audits. But you can't expect the controller's office to do 55 agencies on a two-year basis. That was simply unwielding. We could not do that. So I amended the bill to go down to 13 agencies, amended to go to every 4 years and 2 years, which I think would be, we'll get a good handle on that, and we'll get some good outcomes.
So, Bob, let me just say this. We're going to take a very brief break, and the controller has just passed me a note saying she could stay till 6. I appreciate that, Controller Pratt. We'll come back, and I think that Carl may be calling in. I've got that message, which is fine. I told him to come in the second half now if he wanted to join us, because we were so full the first half hour, and I thought the controller was leaving, but he might be joining us as well. 410-319-8888. We'll come back and immediately go to the voice of Helen Holton. More than the voice, the substance as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Don't go away. As we look at audits in Baltimore, the vote's coming up, and we're going to talk about that as well. Will this be on the ballot? What do we think? And if it is on the ballot, what does it mean to us? And how do we vote on it? Well, I can see a great many discussions between now and November, if it is on the ballot, to figure out what we're voting on. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back.
I'm Anthony McCarthy.
Who are you again?
Anthony McCarthy. There we go.
My brother Anthony here every Monday. We are tackling the audits. We'll be tackling this a lot. The vote's next Monday night in the City Council. which will decide whether or not there's a charter amendment to be voted upon. If that gets voted on, we will continue these discussions with some intensity between now and November to get to the bottom of all this. Even if it doesn't, we'll probably continue discussions because we have to get to the bottom of all this. Comptroller Joan Pratt has agreed to stay for the entire hour, so she's here with us in the studio. Three of our council representatives are here. Bobby Curran from the 3rd, Helen Holton from the 8th. We've just been joined by Councilman Stokes from the 12th. And Mary Ernish, founder of Audit Baltimore. 410-319-8888. LaVon, we're going to come to your question, but I promised Helen hasn't been heard from. Helen, you want to chime in on what you've heard, and then we have a question for the Councilman Stokes about his bill, and then we'll go back to Joan Pratt and the rest. Go ahead.
Sure. I just want to say, like Councilman Curran and Comptroller Pratt, I came to the City Council in 1995 as well. And I think that there have been good things said both ways. I understand Mary's position of why haven't these things been done. I think we'd be in a much better position to get them done, but you have to begin somewhere. Our finances are strapped as is already, so to jump out of the box and say we're going to audit 55 agencies in 2 years is a mammoth task. And so when I look at the funding that's been cut to recreation and parks, when I look at the funding that's been cut to an investment in youth, and I look at the funding that's been cut to after-school programming, you know, to a lot of programs across the board that benefit citizens, I don't know that I'd want to see us bite the bullet and audit all these agencies in one fell swoop over a two-year period of time, particularly since many of them within that 55 do not have financial statements. And so to get the CAFR done, which is the city's overall financial statement, a finance department has their methodology of taking the expenses against the appropriations made to those agencies to come up with a financial statement. What I do think is that this is an opportunity for us to do some things that, number one, increases the transparency of government. Number two, gives assurances that we are minding the store adequately. And what's interesting, how this bill started out as an ordinance, because of reports of the law department and finance, basically said, well, the law department in particular said we didn't have the authority to do that, taking responsibility away from the comptroller's office, from the division of audits. And so where we came to the point of saying, well, let's send it to the voters was something well within our purview to do, because it was important enough that we begin by doing something. And so I think this is a great start, whether it's 2 years, 4 years, doesn't make much difference to me so long as we get it done, because what I know is this, after you get those benchmark audits done, we're in a much better position to know what's at stake, what's not at stake, where we're falling down on the job, where we're not, which doesn't necessarily constitute a need to do audits every 2 years, every other year, because my concern is that we start auditing for the sake of auditing versus auditing and looking at the end reports to determine whether certain agencies need to be audited again or not. And we're taking money away that could be put into some of the programs and things to benefit citizens that we'd like to see have happen.
So let me ask this very quickly. Mary, let me ask you your thoughts on what you've heard, and I want to hear about Carl, about the bill he put in, and what he expects, and come back to the comptroller. Is that all right? And Anthony, please leap in, brother.
I have one question, and I'm hoping that Comptroller Pratt will clarify it for us. Where do you stand on the present audit bill, Comptroller Pratt? Are you for? Are you against? Would you elaborate a little bit, please?
On the present audit?
On the ordinance.
If the resources are provided to the Department of Audits, we welcome it. But I just want to caution your listening audience and you also that if there is a mandate that we do these audits, as Councilwoman Holton just said, the budget process is a challenge. And in the past years, we have been experiencing deficits, and Baltimore City cannot operate on deficit spending. So if there are certain mandated audits, then that there are also mandated services that the city must provide to its citizens, which means there are going to be some cuts, layoffs, or some services not provided that are not mandated. So I think we need to be careful with what we're doing, because if they're mandated, something is going to have to suffer because we just don't have the financial resources to do it.
Carl, let me ask you, what. Mm-hmm. So you're, in essence, what Mary Ernish is asking, And what the controller just responded to is what your bill was addressing. How did you expect it to be done?
The original bill, of course, is off the table. We're talking about auditing 13 agencies on a now four-year basis, which I think is almost akin to not doing any audits at all. People can steal very easily over that length of time. This is only in the government and politics, as you say, my friend.
Bob Marley said it first.
Right, that we do such nonsense. You know, the stockholders, the shareholders of Google or Microsoft, they expect to see an audit of their company, a third party, every year. And they don't expect them to pick and choose which departments to do. Having said that, listen, it's been over 30, near 40 years since Baltimore City's agencies have been audited fully. Fully. And that's almost every one of them.
And you mean by that a financial audit?
I do mean a comprehensive financial audit.
Let me be clear.
I do agree with Helen Holton and with my comptroller. We need to start. We need to get a baseline. We don't even know where we are, where we have money. You know, the finance department comes in and says, we don't need an audit. We are against audits. It's unnecessary. A finance department says it's unnecessary to do audits? I don't think they could get a job in private industry. Nobody would put up with it. It's ridiculous. They said they can't do audits. The agencies can't do the audits because they can't do financial statements. Help me out here. We've been trying. The comptroller has been doing her job for 2.5 years, and she's too nice. I love her so much. We grew up together. Well, I got to take that back because I'm the oldest. But
you're a lot older, actually.
Yeah. So I used to babysit her. But you know, she can't get an order of Reckon Parks because they can't produce financial records, financial statements. And so I love my controller, but she won't tell the world yet that they don't have financial statements. And they don't. And it's ridiculous. How do we know we don't have money to keep rec centers open or pools open or firehouses open? Every time we do an audit at finance, which our controller has done, okay, we find stuff way out of whack.
So let me take a step back. Then I'm going to go to LaVon, and I want my brother to jump in here because you'd be much too silent for a man who has a lot to say, Anthony McCarthy. I don't want to get our callers in here, but let me ask this question. That's the bottom line of the question. How do you get to the point? And I'm wondering what you saw very quickly in other cities, Mary, and then come back to our guests in the studio here and to Helen Holton. How do you get to the point where the departments of the city of Baltimore have the financial statements of how they spent the money? And I would say down to every last penny,
right,
how you spent the money.
Sure.
Mean, you know, if it's an audit I have to do every night with my wife almost. what did that really go to? You know, no, I'm just kidding.
But no comment from Stokes on that.
This is kidding. But seriously, in all seriousness, I mean, it is. I mean, that's a very serious question. So, Mary, how is that done in other cities? You're telling me that every other city, all these 26 largest cities in America, that they all, every department in every city has done financials?
No, what I'm saying, Mark, is actually there are three cities that do what's called a type of universal regular audits on a specific time basis. Those cities are New York, Detroit, and Philadelphia. And I hope Philadelphia will forgive me for saying this. They've been very good to me and very informative. They've been doing this since 1951, since their home rule charter came into effect in 1951. They're the exception that have this sort of universal, schema to do things. What I'd like to say is that what's before the city council now looks like no other charter provision among any large city in the United States. Not a single one looks like this. And that's what concerns us, is that we are so out of step. Yes, we want to improve things. Yes, we want to strengthen them. But this is not the way to do it. This, no other, and I've reviewed over 30 city charters now, the audit provisions from beginning to end. Not a single charter has a laundry list of agencies to be audited every year. Not a single one. The other thing, very quickly, is that we're talking about closing swimming pools. We're talking about closing rec centers. This has all been done without the benefit of any quantitative evidence, without a single internal financial audit that would justify those decisions.
And you know what, Mary? I just want to comment. You know, they say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And I think that, in my opinion, this is the boldest step that we have taken to, in my tenure on the City Council, to do something that would begin to really talk about transparency in government. And so with swimming pools closing and other things, with Baltimore City being the highest tax jurisdiction in the state of Maryland, I have concerns that if we say, well, let's do all 55 agencies every 2 years, we won't have money to do anything but audit.
I'm not supporting that approach. I don't support that approach.
I do have concern that it's only 13 agencies being called out. And I will say that there are some efforts being undertaken right now to strengthen what's coming forward so that what may be approved by the voters will not be the end, but the beginning of what we do to get more agencies covered and audited.
So this is Anthony McCarthy.
And then we'll go to the phones.
Okay. Let me just ask real quick. The councilman and a lot of his colleagues on the council supported changing Councilman Stokes' bill. And now the on the table for the voters will be these 13 agencies. Councilman Curran, since you support that, and you and the other mayor's allies on the council were very clear that you were not supporting the original bill. There was a lot of play and a lot of movement around, a lot of killing other provisions when specifically for fire, specifically for rec and park, specifically for other things. How do you determine what 13 agencies out of 55 agencies deserve to be audited? I think that's what it comes down to, the bottom line to the taxpayers, is that we want to know all of our dollars are being spent wisely. Who determines the 13 agencies that will get audited? And what do we do with those other agencies?
Well, I believe, Anthony,
I think you all should start, and then I'll let you answer the question.
Right.
Start by requiring these agencies to balance their budgets.
Well, actually, you're leading into a point I'm going to mention before I say what by the 13 agencies. Mm-hmm. There was an issue last year. We in the council, and Councilwoman Holton as the budget chair, we routinely, off and on during the year, get supplementals for the budget. And when one thinks that something is askew, the budget chair or the budget committee will look into that. Now, there was an issue last year. I don't know if Councilman Holton was the budget chair when there was a $2.3 million supplemental for Department of Transportation, specifically for Program 689, which is a towing. And I do a lot of tow issues, as Councilman Stokes and all know. And I questioned that, and I questioned with finance. And actually, the original answer I got from finance is that they were running a deficit of $600,000. Well, why do you need a $2.3 million for $600,000? Now, I'm still pursuing that. As a matter of fact, I am doing a survey, not an audit, a survey of the amount of cars towed in fiscal 12. And I'll have that report given to the Department of Transportation in about a week. I went over to Pulaski and actually looked every line, every tow. I know when you do audits, you've got to do really line by line. So there's a question where the council can question agencies when they come in for a supplemental. Now, obviously, the police department for overtime, we know that, and the fire department for overtime, we know that. But these other agencies, when they come in for supplementals, do actually need that money? Why do you need that money? What was the performance that was so weak that you didn't have that? So there's an opportunity for the council and the budget committee, the council as a whole, to say, and I'm questioning that supplemental last year, and I haven't got the answers yet, but I'm pursuing it. And the controller knows when I get on the issue, whether it be Express Scripts or the parking lot tax, I'll pursue it.
So in terms of time management, let me get some things done here. When I get to the
phones.
That's
why I wasn't asking so many questions.
No, that's fine.
There's
man. That's
a bunch
why you're
of
here,
guests
though.
On the hour.
Because, No. But that's why you're here. I mean, I think that what you just said, Bobby, begs the question that we need to have financials from our departments to know what they're doing.
Well, that's a position when the council, the budget committee, and the council as a whole, when they vote on these supplementals, well, why were you short there?
But councilman, should you wait till supplementals to ask those questions? Why can't the mayor demand her agencies bring line by line, balance their budgets, statements, they balance statements at the end of the year? I can't imagine a single company could continue to move forward without balance statements at the end of the year. But yet we allow multi-million dollar agencies to continue to operate.
Well, I think what you're probably saying is what agencies should do is compare their budget with their actual expenditures.
Appropriations.
Because what you're saying is they should know before the end of the year that they have a deficit they're doing this on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm.
So let's go to this caller in here. LaVon, you're on the air.
Thank you.
I know you had to hold on. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Did she win something?
Hi to everyone.
Hi there.
By profession, and some of the comments that I believe her name is Mary was making as far as audit plans. I'm not really sure she's talking about an audit plan as much as she is an audit schedule.
No, I'm talking about an annual audit plan. Most of them, there are 12 in the audit plan.
An audit plan usually. That's a product that is that most companies pay for, and to put that kind of information out there like that, auditors generally wouldn't do. They would have to give consent to that. But that's not my big issue. The issue is about the budget, generally tied to, like you all were talking about it towards the end, is tied to the expenditures for the whole city of Baltimore, and with nobody can get a dollar without. You know, putting through a request to submit for that to be paid in the financial accounting system, which I'm sure the city has. Whoever made the request, if it was recreation, even the agencies that are not being audited, if recreation, water, whoever it is, that has to have an account number that was tied to that particular agency. So I hopefully that within the city of Baltimore, there is an ability for them to figure out how to put everything in the financial statement and to do an audit. It should be there, but if it's not, I'm not understanding how come the budget and the expenditures are not tied and zeroed out at the end. If there's a request for a budget, there's an appropriation that was approved by the city council, and then that appropriation is spent throughout the year. A tool of financial management has to know what was spent for the year in order for them to prepare a budget. There's no way they can prepare a budget and they not know what was spent for the year in each agency, all 52 of them. So I'm the other thing that I'm thinking, and this is no fault to any official city person. The issue is, I believe, lie with the citizens of Baltimore City for the fact that we, for 30 years, did not demand this. This is our fault. I mean, this is something that should have been done some years ago, and this is all kind of news to us that this has not ever been done, especially for as large as the cities as this would be. What they might have something like a $7-10 billion budget. So, I mean, in order for them to plan the police department monies and all of these other things, they have to know what they spent previous years in order to get a new budget.
So, LaVon, you raised some really very powerful questions, and Carl, which goes to the heart of what you originally proposed in the city council.
Yes.
And the question is, the question for all of you is, how do we get there that city agencies have financials so they know, so we the citizens know how the money's spent, whether it's we the citizens of Baltimore City or we the citizens of the United States of America who put federal dollars into Baltimore, how the money's being spent?
Well, they will know that they have to prepare themselves for this. They have to know that. I'll say this on the air. I don't think that this is the perfect bill that we have sitting before us now. But we will finally get to see at least 13 agencies. By the way, guys, there's really only 14 major agencies of the city. So I'm okay that we're not continuing auditing the boards and the commissions, et cetera. They should be randomly done.
What's the one agency that's missing out of the 14?
Say it again.
What is the one agency missing out of the 14?
I knew it, but I have to look at the list again to remember.
I believe it was the health department because a lot of their funding comes
from the health department.
Because a lot of their money is grant money that's already being audited.
Right. Through the single audit. Right.
So no, if
let's go through single audit, it's the health department.
Right.
What'd you say, Helen? Say it again.
It's the health department. The majority of the health department's funding is federal funding.
Right. State funding, too.
Federal funding is subject to single audit, which is a federal government requirement.
Right.
And so for us to spend money auditing the health department, it's less than 2% of their budget.
Right.
And so it just wouldn't make sense. Heavily audited already.
So if this bill passes the city council, do you think it will or won't?
I believe it will. I have to ask Bobby. He's in charge of the bill right now.
I'm in charge of the bill. I believe it will.
Let's say for argument's sake it passes and it goes to
the voters.
The voters in November. Let me first ask our Comptroller Joan Pratt and then Mary Earnest for her perspective. What will that mean? Let's say the voters pass the bill. What does that mean to you?
If the voters pass the bill, then it's mandated. Then the administration has to allocate resources, which has been said earlier that if, you know, we're in a challenging
budget time,
so if they're mandated, then where's that money going to come from? Because for the last several years, we have had to close a deficit. And if it's mandated, that means we have to do it. So I'd like to know where if it's mandated and the administration appropriates money to the Department of Audits to do that, then other services that are offered to the city or provided by the city to the citizens, they're going
to
suffer.
Something
because we
give.
Also have mandated services that we have to provide, such as trash collection and
police department,
right, safety. So those the other agencies will suffer. The citizens will also suffer. Where are the resources coming from?
Mary Earnest?
Well,
and then we'll go right to Carl. We have about four or five minutes left.
I would not support the present bill that's before the City Council for a number of reasons. And one, that it's not based on evidence-based policy. It looks nothing like what any other city, large city in the United States is doing. And for that reason, I would not be able to support it. What's being said here on our side is perhaps if it does get passed, that perhaps it's time to mobilize the forces and put forth a proper and superior charter amendment by petition.
Can I just ask a question for Mary? Could you compare the Ballmer County, the Ballmer City in the future discussions? Ballmer County office over.
That's Bobby. That's Bobby McCarron. My research was confined to the 26 largest cities. I don't know who looked at the counties. I'm working just on the cities.
Well, Carl, for the next discussion, try to count.
Carl.
I'm sorry. The straight answer to the money is that I've run three or four companies, and the money was always a line item in the budget. So you count for it up front. It's not something we do behind. It's a part of my expense. It's a part of doing business to do an audit. And so it is with every other company in the United States of America.
But, Carl, the budget, Joan Pratt can answer, I think like $3.9 million is spent right now on auditors now. If has to be increased, then something has to be shrunk to add money to that.
Because what happens is that the director of finance gives each agency a target.
Right.
And so you have to allocate that money how you see fit. And as you know, most of it is in personnel. So
Well, here's a little unknown fact. There's plenty of waste, fraud, and abuse in government. The money's there. The audit will show you where the waste, the fraud, and abuse. And I know that they hide money in departments and agencies.
Sure they are hiding
money. The money's there. You'll find out who has it.
Well, this is Helen Holton, and this is what I'd like to say. I hope that the bill passes, and the reason I say that is that we have to start somewhere. And I'd hate to see us start from square one all over again. To start from square one all over again, we're 2 years out before there's another opportunity for a charter amendment. Once you have it done, you can always amend it. And so maybe that's the challenge, to work so that 2 years out, if you need to amend it, you have the time with which to do that and make it stronger. But you also have the opportunity to see what's in play and put something in action that can be done right now. And I think, for me, that's the greatest need, that we do it, since we have been formally informed that we don't have the authority to do it by legislation alone, that it must be the voters that makes it happen. Then we can begin to see where there is, because my understanding was it may be 4 years, but those 13 agencies will be audited in the first two.
So we have there's so much here to cover. I want to thank Comptroller Joan Pratt for joining us for the entire hour here.
Sure. May I make one other statement? I'd just like to say to your listening audience that the Department of Audits has 4 vacancies. And if there are accountants out there who are looking for a job, we would love for you to go on the city's website, apply for it, so that we can fill these positions and be able to perform more audits.
And I want to thank Mary Ernish as a citizen activist for bringing all the issues up she does and pushing this to kind of bring these things to the fore. And I thank you once again for joining us. We'll be talking to you a lot in the course of these next several months because, as Council Floor of the Bill Leader Bobby Curran has said, the bill is going to pass. So we have a lot to talk about here. And I want to thank Councilman Carl Stokes for joining us.
Thank you.
And for pushing the issues on the council, and Councilman Helen Holton.
Thank you, Mark.
To you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you,
thanks, Mark.
And I guess we have to take a break here.
We got to take a quick break.
When we come back from this, we are going to be talking about what happened in Wisconsin. We're talking to some leaders of the Sikh community here in Baltimore and from around the country. We'll then be talking with John Nichols from The Nation magazine and David Weigel from Slate to talk about the violence in America, extremism and guns, and what is happening here. I should say extremism, racism, and guns, and what's happening here. What's that?
We're good.
Oh, good, good, good. Okay. And we'll be and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Nice.